I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Pocket Buds, a back pocket podcast where I talk to my best buds about video games and stuff. This week, we're talking about Gubbins. Before we get on to Gubbins though, let's talk about word games in general, because Gubbins is a word game. Word games, to put it simply, are games that involve words. Think Scrabble or Wordle. Scrabble was made about 85 years ago, and since its inception, has been one of the big influences for most grid-based word games that have come after it. We wouldn't have Words with Friends without Scrabble, or people who insist on bringing Oxford dictionaries to board game nights. And then more recently with Wordle, we saw a fairly simple idea of guessing a five-letter word in a trial and error process. But not only was it the guessing game that got people into it, it was the opportunity to brag to people online about your huge, pulsating genius brain when you got the word in 2 to 3 tries. But what else is the word game world doing to keep itself fresh? How can a word game be more than just a game with words in it? Sometimes word games will reach into other genres or even game mechanics to bring something new to the word game world, when they're allowed, of course. We'll get to that later. Classic DS game Scribblenauts brought words to life to solve silly situations. Upcoming indie game Cryptmaster requires the player to dungeon crawl using fighting words. Hell, the Castle of Elif Thayde on Neopets requires the player to solve anagrams with every 3 steps they take. These are all, in my eyes, very cool examples of how games are constantly finding exciting new ways to play with words. And another game that I think does this very well is Gubbins. Remember how I interviewed Sam Barlow while I was in Sydney for South by Southwest? Well, that wasn't the only person I talked to during that week. I also talked to my mum, but that's completely unrelated. For this episode, I got the chance to talk to Darcy Smith. Darcy has been in the local games industry for a number of years now, working at League of Geeks as the project lead for their digital role-playing board game Armello, before starting his own studio alongside his partner in crime, graphic designer Jessica Shippard. So was the beginning of Studio Folly, with their first game Gubbins coming along with them. Gubbins is a word game, but it's also a roguelite. It's also a twisted postcard maker, and it's also a mobile game. On top of all that, it's out right now. In the lead up to its release, I got the chance to chat with Darcy about how the game came to be, what mishmash of 2 games it almost was, and which YouTube vlogger came out of the woodwork to get Gubbins out there.
My name is Darcy Smith. I am, I guess, a game designer, game directory kind of guy. You do a lot when you're working for a small studio. I work at Studio Folly, and we're making Gubbins, like a silly little word game about making swear words and sending deranged postcards to your friends about it.
Yeah, awesome. So how did Gubbins come to be?
Well, Jess and I, my business partner, fiance, business partner.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. We were like figuring out what we wanted to do. It was like COVID lockdown. I was like applying for jobs overseas and then like hiring freezes across the world happened.
Mm.
And we were like, Jess hasn't worked in games. I have like I've got a career in games. And we were just trying to figure out what cool projects we could do together. She's a graphic designer, like an epic visual director, and I think she was passionate about making a game that has like good type, because so many games have like chiller font.
Yeah,
and she was like, I want a game that makes like, let's just go like simple color and then nice type, and we'll go from there. And that's how it all started, really.
No, but that's actually such a huge thing, because like, I mean, this is a leading question, but
yes,
how important do you think font is in games?
I mean, I think that everything, like basically anything that you can care about, like you should, like the best version of a game, you care about every single thing. And I think that a lot of people just take like text for granted because it's just easy.
Mm.
Like you just chuck some text in and it's done, whatever fonts, who cares? But, you know, I think that if you invest in niche areas, you can like untap, like you'll resonate with like brains that are fucking like wildly passionate about that stuff. And we have people come up to us all the time, like, you know, this, the text in this game's beautiful, the type's beautiful, and yeah. And, you know, We're like, okay, we're doing something. Something's working.
What Gubbins does really well is its UI is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a drive for the UI to look as good as the rest of the game?
Well, I think that we have a perspective. It's almost like this is not, it's sort of like a non sequitur, but It's why we don't want ads in our game for the same reason, which is when you open a game, you're in the game.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're in a menu and your menu looks and feels like shit, like, sorry, that is part of your game. It's not just a menu. It's kind of like, you know, you would never sit down and watch a movie and like have like a shitty Word document as like the credits up front.
Yeah.
Like, because they're trying to set a vibe immediately. Like, that is part of the movie. Like, and the treatment of the credits and like and all of the stuff that needs to happen is like definitely a piece of what you're making. So I don't want ads in my game, because like, imagine if you like booted up, like, not that we're Nintendo or whatever, but imagine if you like booted
Nintendo
up. Yeah, we're basically Nintendo.
We're kind of like the Nintendo of Australia.
The new Nintendo.
Kind of like Nintendo of Australia. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Very clearly. One-on-one. But like, imagine if you like boot up Breath of the Wild for the first time. You're like crawling out of that cave and it's like, no. You get the landscape like shot of Hyrule, and then an ad rolls. Like, that's fucked. Like,
that's kind of funny.
And it'd be funny. It's like, it's a good meme, but it also like, people would that is your game. That's, I think that sort of disrupts the experience. And I guess the same goes for menus, which is just like, it should feel good and it should feel fun. And like, I mean, if we get time, I will probably like even try and fold some sort of mini game into our menus, because like, anything that can be touched can be fun.
Anything can be a game. Exactly. You can go for a walk and you can turn that into a game.
Sure. Yeah.
You got to just go step on
the cracks.
No, someone's, oh, you break your mother's back.
Yeah. I did once, and she's in hospital.
I'm so sorry.
No, she's totally fine. My mum's in good health.
Oh, that's good.
But maybe I should call her.
Yeah. Have you stepped on any cracks lately?
I did earlier. It was like a 10-year streak of not stepping on any, and then I messed up.
Uh-oh.
I got to call my mum.
Call your mum. Call you
live.
And this is right now.
Right now.
Special guest, Darcy's mom.
Is she out back? Did you get her? Did you prepare her for this?
You're not going to believe this.
She's
Darcy's mom.
Julie. Why is every mom, every second mom, is their name is Julie? Have you noticed that?
Are you just, I think it's like confirmation bias, because that's your mom's name.
Well, like, the only mother that I have is Julie, and that's clear.
Like, that would be like
100% of my mother's names are Julie.
That would be
record.
Like me saying, it's so weird, there are so many mums called Fran, and that's because my mum's
well,
name
the other
is Fran.
Half of mum's name. Names are Fran. It's just Fran and
Mums
Julie.
Can only have two names, Fran or actually,
I'm
going to
find you in 5 minutes after this. I'm going to find you someone whose mum's name is Julie. It's going to be so easy, I promise you.
You said so many mums are Julie, and immediately multiple mums I know that are called Julie came to mind.
Telling you,
you're actually, at the end of the day, you're actually kind of right.
I know. And that's, no one likes it. No one likes that I'm right. I know, but it's a curse that we all have to bear.
It makes me really upset because, like, when I'm right, it feels really good. But when others are right,
no one likes. No, especially with me. Something about me, people like he shouldn't be right.
It kind of feels like because, like, you say things with the confidence of someone who might be telling a fib.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But like confidently telling a fib.
Yeah.
And I think it rocks.
Thank you.
However, when it's true, it's like, oh damn.
Damn.
Damn. But also good.
Thank you.
You were talking about ads.
Yes.
You know, you're making a mobile game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And big thing with mobile games is if they're not paid for upfront,
yeah,
the monetization can come in a lot of different forms. And one of them 100%. Is ads, but you're like, fuck them.
Well, I just think that they're like, that's your game. Like, I know that they work. People, but like, there are buzzwords thrown around. Mobile sucks. I really don't like it as like the corner of game development. But people go like, you know, oh, opt-in ads, like they increase retention, like, and make people like games more when there are ads to opt in. And it's like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, that's why Breath of the Wild don't have a big fucking button that Zelda can hit with a mallet that brings up an ad, because like, if that was poggers, then they would do that.
Yeah,
we're trying to monetize in a way that makes sense to us, and a lot of stuff that works, like, you know, soft currencies and ads and stuff like that, just don't interest us. We're not good at it, we don't know about it, so like, I don't want to invest the time and effort to get good at something that takes expertise. Like, these people that do this stuff are very good at what they do. It's just not my cup of tea.
Have you ever played any games that you find have done monetization well in a mobile game?
I mean, there are elements of different games that I like a lot, but there are also, usually there's never a game that has done it like flawlessly. I would say, like, I love Marvel Snap. I love that, like, the big driver for like their monetization stuff is like just really great cosmetics.
Yeah.
And some of those cards are just like so sick. Yeah. And how they celebrate the artist names and, like, you know, and you can collect a set and like, you know, that kind of stuff feels amazing. And the cosmetics fold into the progression track of unlocking the collection in a cool way. I love that game. But then, like, they'll run, like, a purchasable will come up and that it'll be like $100 real human money for like a variant skin of a card you already have.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's just shitty. Like, someone's gonna do that, make that purchase when they like they're high on life and they go, mash, I'll take this $100 thing, and then have like potentially weird consequences in life because of it. Like, because they're just hopped up on dopamine from your game. I think there's like a responsibility that we have as like game makers to like you build engagement and you make people love the things that you do. And I think that it feels super weird to be like, here's this thing you love. Do you love it? How fun is it? How sick is it? You having a good time? Bam, pay me $100.
Like, yeah.
You know, some cases, you know, maybe they're the heir to like some sort of lord or something and they've just got an endless bank account that they can just like smash stuff through. But I don't know. Making your game and then like fine tuning it to make people spend money is like different.
Yeah, I think there's something, and obviously, you know, hashtag not all mobile games.
Yes.
But I think there is almost an element of trickery when it comes to monetization with a lot of mobile games. And it feels like you see it in reviews on the app store. You see people going like, this game is good, but it got to a point where I couldn't play it anymore unless I spent money on it.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know. To each their own, and like, I don't know. But no one's like really responsible. It's just sort of like an industry movement, like that I guess are like key industry players and critical games have kind of defined over time, like a slow moving beast or whatever. But it's just ultimately at the end of the day, rather than like throwing stones, it's just like, it's just not my bag.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to fine tune my game to get people to spend money. I want to fine tune my game to just be like dope as shit.
I will ask, how are you doing it then? Making money from the game?
So we're gonna do like a Wordle thing, like, and this is funny because everyone has their own values based on sort of free-to-play stuff and people feel very strongly about it, but we're gonna do a Wordle thing where you get to you get to play a couple of games like to understand it, like a tutorial type thing, and then you get a game a day. And like, I think when people see our game they go, oh, like a game a day doesn't feel like enough if they don't know the game. But the game like can take like 15-20 minutes for a single game. So you get a game a day for free, so you can do the daily or you can do a different game instead of the daily or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can pay to like break down the limit. There's also like gubbins. So the gubbins are the friends that like power ups, like tools or like things that mess you up. And some of those will be paywalled as well. So yeah, we're like dancing with the devil a little bit.
But you got to make money somehow.
I mean, we got it. We got it. Like, I want to make another game. We've invested like 3 years of our life into this. So if no reason was involved or no consequence, I would just put it out for free. But that's not a viable move for us. It's like business Darcy needs to like have some sort of like sense. But I've had like multiple meltdowns about this.
3 years of development, correct?
Close to, yeah. Close, I mean, it started slow, but yes, 3 years.
Tell me all about it.
All about it? I mean,
all about it.
I mean, we got started. Once upon a time, we were making like, basically that started as like Tetralingo was the name of the game.
Whoa.
Which feels weird, that, doesn't like, it?
That was literally the name?
Yeah, because it was like, whoa, Tetris, but with words. And then like I was sending prototypes around and the game sucked and we were sort of like up against a wall. Like we were kind of just like trying to figure out what the fuck we were doing, basically. Mm. And Andy Sum of Crossy Road fame and 420 Blaze It fame, he like sent me a message because I like did a blast out to some people that I sort of unashamedly approached and said, hey, play my game. What do you think? Like, this is what we're doing. And he was like, lol, you can't make this game. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, the Tetris company is like the most aggressive games IP. Like, shit, the Tetris IP is the most aggressively protected like IP in the whole of games.
Right. So Tetris is like mega.
So they come out of their cave every 5 years and just eviscerate everyone. They have patents on game mechanics.
Yeah.
So which is quite unheard of. It's very regular for games to take a game mechanic and then patent it. That kind of ends up being like a bit of a weird hurdle. We find out in this process that many different word games and many games start as Tetris, but with words.
Interesting.
And we also find some quirks, like this could be the reason that like lots of the Bejeweled style games, like Match 3. Yeah, like those games, like they very irregularly are flush blocks. They're always icons that are floating.
Yeah.
Because Tetris have like a vague patent that says that they own like flush blocks falling together.
Right.
Which is like, so a lot of like Tinfoil Hat On, that's like sort of moved the industry in a way. That's like in a weird tiny way.
Yeah. And so that kind of had a huge effect on.
Well, that, yeah. I mean, we just kind of like reworked what we were working on. And it was kind of like some things that we didn't like and some things that were weird and some things that just weren't good. And then we just started riffing on like what our version of a word game could be like. And one thing that we liked about the sort of Tetris thing is that like sometimes you would have two letters that are stitched together. And that's like a cool, it's almost like that in itself, like if we just have a game, you remove all the gubbins, all the bullshit, all the color and everything, just a word game where some of the letters are stitched together, that's already the bones, like the skeleton, basically. And then we just kept working on it. We're like, okay, we want these like power-ups, and then we want like, okay, well, like let's, maybe the power-ups are just like these cute little objects. And then we get an illustrator on and we're like, so we want these like cute little objects in our game. And he's like, oh, and they're characters. And we're like, oh, yeah, they're, yes.
Yeah.
They are characters.
They are. You're
100%.
Right.
And so we got Zach on board. And I mean, Kat, our composer, was already on board at this point. And we were like, do some jazzy tunes. That sort of happened like early on. She's the first person that we sort of worked with, aside from programmers. Yeah, we got jazzy tunes in the works. We got Zach making some weird freaks. And then we ended up getting Georgia Chris, who's an amazing animator, to take these illustrations. Like Zach doesn't really illustrate with motion in mind. Like he hasn't really done a lot of animation stuff. He's majorly just sort of like set in sort of static stuff.
Yeah.
So he draws in a way that doesn't consider like how things move. And I think that then Georgia takes that and with her brilliant mind makes it move. And that feels like the secret sauce of like, more or less, like if you take color and block and type and stroke from Jess as like the creative director, and then you get Zach making these weird guys with these rules, these colors, and then you get Georgia moving them around. That's like the secret source of like what the game sort of like looks like. And then you take years of iteration on like how to seamlessly present a tile that you go, oh, this is really helpful. That's crazy. Like there's so much that the game is doing to like make you feel smart.
Yeah.
That no regular person will ever know. And that's like, that's, that's what Gubbins is, basically.
Yeah. And a real cool thing about Gubbins as well is the postcard system. And so what kind of inspired that? Would you like to explain the postcard system and then say where it came
from? So basically you, at the end of a game, or if you fancy midway through the game, you can make, like, sort of inspired by Instagram stories, you can make like a little collage postcard thing, but you can only use the gubbins that you've used that game, like in terms of like stickers, and then some other stuff that we've added, like some extra cosmetics, but the main thing is the words that you've entered in that game are the words that you can use on that postcard, basically. So you can make a little like collage thing, and then you can share it with people, you can post it online and stuff. And like, because the game encourages you to make swear words and mess around and make dumb memes about it, you end up with like very deranged postcards.
Oh, yeah.
It's like immediately just like everywhere. And I'm really hoping that when we launch like November 14th, that the world like is lit up for a while with like sick, disgusting, feral little postcards.
Absolutely. And why did you want to do that?
I think that like a lot of games go like, they'll make a game and then they just like slap a share button on it, like, chant, like, tell your mates. And it's like, why? Like, why?
Tell
like
them
you've
what?
Just you've just put like a share button in your game because you just think that that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And we were like, I think we saw like Wordle's success in like share, that little sharey widget thing, and like I think that they made sharing fun. Like,
yeah.
I think that they made like, they were like, they found a way where you could share how well you did without spoiling the game, and I think that that's genius. And we were like, well, we want to do something. I know we want to do something that's sort of more fun with sharing, because we know that we're not doing a multiplayer game, so we want it to feel sort of social. We want to like motivate people to tell mates about it and like share fun things. And we were like, well, what if we can make it fun? Like, what if it was like an Instagram kind of like little postcard maker? And in the latest patch of the game that is about to go live for the testing crew, and this is how the game will ship, we combined the score screen and the postcard maker. So instead of having like they're just one screen, and the postcard that you start with is just like a list of your best words and a little summary of the game. So you can just like generate like a little scorecard, basically, and share that and save that or whatever.
You can make your own, and it's just like Papa like meat. And it's on the TV.
Exactly. And that's genius.
I think that's the last one I did.
Papa like meat.
I was trying to think. I'm like, what was the last Gubbins postcard I made? And it was Papa like meat.
Yeah, good.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah,
there's some classics like I'm peeing, I'm weeing, I'm horny is like a classic
awesome.
One. Yeah.
I'm peeing, I'm weeing, I'm horny. Yeah, that rolls.
Yeah. Just like that. And someone made Aurora Borealis at this time of year. The whole fucking phrase. And I'm like, how did you
get
Aurora Borealis? Like, it's two separate words. I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, I think that's a really special thing about Gubbins as well, is like the freedom of the word game too. And what made you guys want to go outside of like what's allowed in Scrabble and you know, use those proper nouns and go for cuss words
well? Well, because like when you play Scrabble with mates, like you do the cuss words. Like you could make a better word, but you make butts. You say shit, if I'm allowed to say that.
You're allowed to
I'm
say
I'm
allowed
it. To say that.
You've got it.
And like, because you're like, like, you know, you're just like having a beer
you're
or whatever.
You're like, I'm playing Cunt for 14 points.
7 points.
And everyone's looking at you like, Okay.
And that's like, and we want to encourage that, especially with the postcard sort of like thing folded in. Then like names and proper nouns kind of just came through our dictionary because it was like basically just the dictionary was too loose and had a bunch of proper nouns. We were like, fucking leave them in. Like, who cares? Like, what, like people are just like, oh, London's a proper noun. You're like, fuck off.
Okay.
It's a city. It's a word we say. Like, I don't care. Like, no one at a table has ever had fun when someone goes like, actually, that's not a word. That's not the fun part. That's not the playful part. That's not the part that we want to celebrate. Mm-hmm. The part that we want to celebrate is just like, yeah, London.
Nobody likes a Scrabble tied ass.
I know.
Especially when you're exactly. playing with multiple people.
And like we basically had a crossroads where we're like, are we narcs or are we just letting people chill about it?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a clear, for me, I was like, it was a very clear decision. But some people are upset about it.
Really?
Yeah, word game purists think that like we've committed some sort of sin. And I mean, take a hike. Think I care?
Do you think that like...
And that's why, you know, people are like, is this in American English or UK English? I'm like, it's fucking both.
It's all.
You can just spell flavor with an O-R or an O-U-R, and I don't care. You think I care?
Is this in wing-wing or wah-wah?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is this pee-pee or poo-poo?
Yeah, like what are you saying to me right now?
Like, do you think I care about these trivial little questions?
Oh, and like how would you spell it? Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Just spell a word.
The idea is like, just if you think it should probably work, then it should just probably work.
Yeah, just
that's,
do it.
That, and that's sort of like, I mean, we wholeheartedly believe that.
Yeah. I think the fact that word game purists are a thing is very cringe, very sad.
Yeah.
Like, do something else.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there are many other better things that they could do.
Because you know what they could do?
What?
Just play another word game.
I know.
There are so many.
There are many that exist.
I wouldn't say that there are many that have great little guys, little creatures.
Well, that's a unique thing about us.
And that's what's beautiful. I remember writing an article when I was still at Kotaku for Gubbins.
Yeah.
And it was, I think I don't know if it's the second one or the first one, because I did one when it was announced and I did another.
And they do like, you talk about Gubbins one more fucking time,
we'll kill you. No, but I did a graphic for it because I wanted to show off a few of the Gubbins.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it in one picture.
Yes.
It was such a funny moment.
Oh my God.
Because there were separate pictures of the Gubbins, but there wasn't one where like an example of like three, let's say.
Yeah.
So I made my own.
Yeah, yeah.
A 16 by 9.
Yeah.
And that ended up getting used.
People just took that image and just like pasted it across the internet. It's like one of the most prominent images like associated with that game.
And they went, image, Studio Folly. And I'm like, and Kotaku Australia.
Yeah.
And Ruby in us. I did nothing. I did squiggly lines. Yeah,
I mean, it's a solid. Like, Jess was like, is pretty protective with this stuff, but she's like, at least it was good.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. It's so funny how that's so how it goes. You spend like years curating and perfecting a thing, and then someone's just like, oh, I'll just make an asset real quick. And they're like, everyone's like, yeah, that's the one.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so, so bizarre. Well, what's kind of been like the response to how Gubbins is and how Gubbins looks?
We will always be, until it's out and until we've made any money, we're like slightly fearful, just because like mobile games are so unreliable. Like, that whole. It's just such a like a chaotic and turbulent industry that like doesn't really have much space for indies at the moment.
Oh yeah,
we're like a bit scared always, but I mean the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. Basically, like everyone just for the most part, people just sort of like it sparks joy, you know, like, and that's undeniable. So. I mean, I really hope that it like plays out in practice. Like, a big part of this is kind of like the data game of it all. Like, will you resonate enough to retain X amount of players and yada, 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 which are that boring stuff, but it is a part of it. But now we've got internet science dad, Hank Green.
Tell me more about that, because that is such fun, random little thing.
Yeah.
How did you and Hank Green come to be?
It's crazy. He just like, we did a video and we're like sort of, it starts on TikTok. The story starts at TikTok. We were told about people that sort of like work on TikTok a bit. They're like, if you just see like a TikTok that's doing quite well, like try and like take their format, like don't jack this. Like, you got to use your own content and thoughts and but just take their format. And so we just saw a video that was doing quite well that was just like a little introduction, like, hi, I'm blah, 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 and this is my game, this is why I made it, and whatever.
Yeah.
So we make this video, and it doesn't go viral, but it does very well. Like, it gets hundreds of thousands of views.
I would call that viral.
I would say, like, I feel like a mil is, like, viral. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
It was like baby viral. Like,
that being
viral
said, like
minor or something.
Viral, for me, is getting in the hundreds of thousands. Because that means hundreds of thousands of people have seen it. And then on top of that, you don't know where else it's being shared. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But go on.
So, I mean, yeah, that's interesting to think about. But basically, we just get, like, a comment. We're just like, we just see that, like, Hank Green has commented on this video. And we're like, that's crazy. Like, because I know his stuff. And I, like, you know, he's just, like, some cool guy that explains, like, he'll just be like, how does a cell work? Like, you know. And he's always seems lovely and funny and weird and interesting. He basically comments on it. And then, like, a couple of days later, we realize that he's, like, followed us and we followed him back. And he sent us a message. But in the chaos of the, like, the notifications, we've missed this message. We've left Hank on read day or two. And then I, like, hit him back and I was just like, hey, oh, yeah, that's crazy. Like, he wants to hear. He's like, I'd love to hear more about the game or something like that. So I go, like, yeah, I mean, you're probably super busy and I probably need time to mentally prepare to talk to you because you're Hank Green, you know. And I was like, can I book you in, like, Thursday or something? And he's like, well, you're awake right now, aren't you? And it was 7:30 a.m. I'm in bed messaging him from my phone. Like, my dog's, like, sleeping at the foot of the bed and stuff. So I'm like, who am I to deny the man himself? Like, also, I was like, at that point, I'm like, he blew into our lives like a breeze. And just like he is arrived, he could just evaporate, you know. So I was treating this like I should just get on a call immediately, because if I don't, he might just forget that we exist, and because he's a busy guy, right? He's got a million things going on. So I get out of bed and I'm like on a call with him until, like, you know, for like an hour and a half, and he's really just like hearing us out, like what we're up to and what we think is interesting, like where we want to be. Like, he sort of like is probing, is like, have you ever considered being a non-for-profit, like, and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, I haven't. That scares me. And he's like, why does it scare you? And I'm like, because I just had never considered that, like, I haven't even made a dollar. Like, I don't even know what it means to, like, take all of the profit and give it away. And he's just kind of like, he's almost just like sizing me up in some weird, like, Shark Tank way. Like, but he's like, I think he's done a lot of these kind of deals and works with a lot of people. So I think he's apt at kind of just like asking the right questions to, like, really get to the bottom of, like, what people are up to and why. And I think that, I guess by the end of that call, he's sort of, we had passed the first test, whatever that may be.
Mm.
We gave him the build, him and John played it. And I think John didn't like it that much. But he might like it a little bit.
John Green does not care for Gubbins.
Yeah, Hank, for every amount of love that Hank has, John has hate. No.
You know what? That's actually so true. For every hating John, there is a loving Hank.
That's it. I think they're both very loving. I just don't know if he was like, I don't think it, like, really hit for him as hard as it did for Hank.
He might just be into other kinds of games.
That's it. Or none at all.
Who knows? None at all. Maybe he's not a gamer.
Yeah. So basically, like, we sort of started talking figures, like, you know, the idea of, like, owning a percentage or what that would look like or what deals sort of, like, he hasn't done any game stuff. So we were just kind of, like, figuring it out, really. And we ended up landing on a deal where he's just like, he just wants money for charity, basically. He's setting us up so we get propped up and then we give money to charity in the process. So he gets to help a small business and he gets to hopefully give us a leg up and we're more stable and we get to do more good.
Yeah.
And then he hopefully gets a return on, like, what would just be a big investment
into a
big charity donation, basically. That's the story, basically. And he's like, he's a very lovely dude. He's extremely busy. He's got a lot going on in his life right now. He's a lot of the time is, like, very, very lovely, but also very, like, business oriented. Like, if I try and, like, catch him up in a goof or, like, have an aside, he's just like, he just, like, straight back on track.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'll be like, Hank, it's crazy. You're on Dimension 20. That's so sick. Like, I'm a big fan of Dropout and, you know, that stuff. I love Sam Reich and, you know, Game Changer and all that. I'm like, Dimension 20, that's awesome. That's crazy. Brendan Lee Mulligan, what up? And he's just like, yeah, so Gubbins, anyway, next step. And I'm like,
he points cool, to you, man. He's like, don't talk about that.
He's like, don't you ever fucking say
that. He says, we're not talking about that.
Well, he just ignores it. Like, he basically, like, it's not even mean. It's not confrontational. He just, like, glides by. Like,
yeah, he's
ethereal...
like, yeah, cool. So anyway.
I think that he's just got, like, you know, probably so many, like, personal friends and family he probably would prefer to talk to.
Do you think he's just done so much different stuff in his life that, like, doing all this stuff doesn't kind of, he doesn't clock it as, like, an amazing thing, but rather, like, you know, it's just another day in his life. And I don't mean that in like a fuckhead way.
Yeah.
I mean it more in just like a what a colorful life he's led. What's happening at hand to him is more important than talking about, you know, any different thing he's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that we're just like, I mean, he's got a lot going on and we're like a little line item on a bigger sort of like a multi-pronged, you know, year, month.
I also respect that he's focused.
Yeah. I mean, it's super sick. A lot of people sort of like comment this now that it's all public. They're just like, you know, one day I wish, like, if the world was run, like, if all of the billionaires in the world were behaved like Hank behaved, the world would be a sicker place.
God, it would.
That's exactly the case. Like, the man has a reasonable amount of wealth. Like, he's probably not equivalent to billionaires and, like, corporate magnates and all that. But, like, immediately just uses it to see if he can just make the world better. Very admirable. And I think a big part of us sort of pursuing this and being really excited about it is just the proximity of being sort of, like, in cahoots with him. Because we just love the idea of like learning his ways and extracting points of wisdom when we can. Because if we can operate like him, you know, I'd love to be able to do that shit.
Yeah,
in
man.
The future.
I mean, like if people with fuck tons of money, like let's say a guy that like rhymes with like Chelon Dusk, just like one day decided, you know what? I'm just going to put heaps of money towards indie games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like reputation just completely changed.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. You can be a fucking loser.
Yeah.
You can be a huge fucking loser who sucks. But if you put your money in really cool places, then like it's fine. You can be the biggest loser in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like the biggest loser. That show was crazy.
It was crazy.
I think about it every now and then.
Yeah.
Sorry, unrelated. I just like said a phrase and I was like, but makes
They're
you
like,
think
look
though.
At these fannies. They're going to try and get healthy.
These fatties are going to get fit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to watch.
It was weird.
It was a fucked up thing though, because it was like they were falling back on the thing of, no, but we're helping them. But like, why are they getting eliminated?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
they're like, you're eliminated, doomed to your own habits.
Stay fat. Like, it's like, what do you mean? Yeah. Like,
you're eliminated. Here's 12 donuts.
They're like, we're going to make it worse for you.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, like it was anyway.
You're eliminated. You need to put all of the weight back on.
And we're going to sit here and watch while you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. Imagine if they did that, though. That'd be fucked up.
That's actually really fucked up.
But Gubbins.
Yes.
Anyway, pulling a Hank Green. So Gubbins.
I mean, yeah, it's really sick that we've landed in this place. It's also just like a bit grim. I think it kind of speaks to the fact that the indie sort of space is just a bit messy at the moment. Like,
ooh, yeah.
And with mobile games, like I think that there was like a sick in the era of like, you know, Crossy Road and Fruit Ninja and like, you know, Jetpack Joyride and on all of these like, you know, is that like Plane Aerospace Control or something like that? Mm. There were like all these sick mobile games that are just like dope. And it just kind of all went away. And it sucks. Like, I'm not like hugely passionate about mobile games, but it just like... It
could be a better industry.
Yeah, it just feels like bureaucratic bullshit, so we don't have like cool little fun things that go bleep bloop, you know? Like,
yeah.
And as well, it's really helpful. The most thing I'm passionate about is that mobile games have historically been like, have a smaller scope expectation. So when a studio's starting out and they want to make something small or they're doing it part-time, like historically a mobile game would have been a really great place to start to move on to other bigger things in a safe way. But now, like, you know, teams kind of come out the gate and they like are forced to just like push into like a big, you know, indie monstrosity, like, and I think that many teams kind of like implode, or because if you've got like 7 people and you're all working for like a couple of years, it's like, congrats, you have a $2 million game. Like, how are you getting $2 million when you're starting out, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, for us, it's like, it's kind of like half that. It's a dystopian to need a content creator to basically like touch like a beam of light to just like bless you, you know?
Yeah, but it's also weird. Awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, I love it. But
it's also fucked.
It's super cooked. It sucks that like there's, you know, giving to charity is awesome. Giving to charity is really sick. Sucks that we have to. You know, that's the kind of situation. It's kind of like, you know, it sucks that the indie games are in a weird spot right now. Like mobile games are in a weird spot right now. But it's super sick that like Hank's on board. That's dope.
Yeah, that's dope. That's yeah. sick. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, we're kind of running out of time a little bit, sad.
Yeah.
So how can we find out about Gubbins? I'm pretty sure.
Have you seen the internet lately?
It's got a release date.
Yes, November 14th. Check it out. Yeah, it'll be on Android, iOS. You can check it out. The Studio Folly on the socials, or look up Gubbins, TikTok, Instagram, internet. Mm. We're on the internet.
You're on the internet. It's a whole new thing that was.
Have you heard about that stuff?
A little
crazy.
A little bit. Yeah. I tend to avoid anything I don't understand. Yeah, yeah. I get scared.
It's not good for you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me
today,
Darcy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do you have any last words you'd like to say before I kill you?
What? Is this the end?
Thank you so much for this interview. It will be your last.
It will be the last. This is a total non sequitur, but the other day I was laughing about the fact that in the height of COVID, you like go into like Chemist Warehouse to buy some meds and they like hold a fucking gun up to your head like they're going to execute you. And then it turns out to just be like a temperature gun.
Yeah. It's weird that there wasn't a warning for it either. They just go,
they just
oh, you're coming
like,
in?
They're like, execute you. Gun to the head. You're fucking. Yeah. Yeah.
Thankfully, we live in Australia though, where like, you know, we don't really have to worry about
See, if I was in America, I would have shot back.
Yeah.
Killed that man that was trying to check my temperature.
Look, people probably fucking did, dude. We just messed up.
That's true. No other words. I am fully sated.
Gorgeous. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And a big thank you to you for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, consider supporting Back Pocket over on Patreon, where you can get access to our lovely Discord full of all sorts of buds. And if you support us at the silver tier and above, you can get access to the bonus episode of this podcast as well. In this week's episode, I tell a perilous tale of my experience at South by Southwest Sydney, and we hear from a bunch of developers about their favorite games at the showcase.
Hello, I'm Simon Boxer, and I run Twice Different, which is a Melbourne-based indie studio. I'm currently working on Winnie's Hole and the Dungeon Experience, so a bit of a double whammy here at South by Southwest.
You got your hands in two pies?
Two holes, two pies.
Yeah, you've got your hands in two holes.
Two pie holes.
And hey, if you really like what you're hearing, why not give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using? Better yet, why not give us a nice little review? You can also find us on Twitch, where we've got our main live show every Thursday from 7 p.m. and on TikTok, where we're constantly posting very good stuff for you to cast your big, beautiful eyes on. And then there's the socials, a la Twitter and Threads and whatnot, which you're also welcome to get around. Once again, thanks for listening. And as the loving Hank Green would say, bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're
you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.